The Final Furlong podcast is brought to you in association with AtTheRaces.com, the ultimate resource for racing fans.
Welcome along to the Final Furlong podcast. I'm Emmett Kennedy. I am currently sweating profusely in humidity, but in a Dyson air-conditioned house, thanks to producer D, it's At The Races pundit Mr. Kevin Blake.
Hello!
And you are now brand ambassador for Dyson because you are astonished, stunned, and amazed at just how effective that fan is.
Yeah, D has just arrived in with this strange contraption that's a Dyson fan, apparently, and I've no idea how it works. I don't know where the air is coming from, but it's cool and breezy. Oh, it's lovely.
They're super cool. They're super
cool. It's kind of like black magic.
We got to add one of those to the Final Furlong podcast studio. Seriously. This heat, no joke. Although, thunderstorm on the way, according to Lucy Verisami.
Yes!
Speaking of a thunderstorm, Rory DeLarghi from Matchbook. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good evening.
And I'm assuming you have a hat full of winners lined up for us. So let's start by taking a quick look.
I've got a hat full of something, I'll tell you that.
Let's take a quick look at Friday's action. ITV3 covering this, 225 Newmarket, the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes, main edition. And Gossamer Wings will be very, very interesting runners, the scat daddy for Aidan O'Brien. Is main edition going to win again, Rory?
I think she will, although it's obviously it's tight between the front three in the market, and particularly between her and La Pelosa. I think a lot of people will expect La Pelosa to reverse form with main edition from the Albany, given that La Pelosa was beaten only narrowly there and was only having her second start, so it's bound to improve. But I remember saying at the time when we reviewed Royal Ascot, I thought main edition did really well. I didn't think it was an easy race to make all the running in. She had a group on the other side of the track from her. She had to do the donkey work for those she was racing with. It looked a furlong out that she was going to be swallowed up by the group. And I thought it was very impressive how she rallied again and put the race to bed. So although she only won by a neck from La Pelosa, and she's had three runs, La Pelosa's just had the two, people will expect the good Alton filly to turn her over. But I'm not at all sure. She strikes me as being really, really tough. And again, the other thing to bear in mind with Godolphin fillies is it's very rarely an excuse for them not to know what the job's about in a big race early in the career. They're very, very forward. And although she should improve again, I don't really buy into the notion that she should improve a chunk more than main edition because she's had one less run. I think main edition will confirm the form. The other thing I'd be worried about with La Pelosa is the draw. The one thing that struck me in the first day of the July meeting was that it was, in several races, it was absolutely impossible to get involved from a low draw. Not a huge field for this, and it may not be that much of a deal on the second day, but I'd rather be with something that can race prominently and wear it once in the track than something that's going to, well, I mean, La Pelosa should race prominently as well, but stall two is definitely not as good as stall five. And if you needed something to tip you in that direction, then that'd be enough. But I'd fancy main edition anyway.
Okay, main edition, who I think will definitely confirm form over La Pelosa. 3.75 as we record on Thursday evening.
11-4.
20-8. 3.75 exchanges. They're the future. Gossamer Wings, 6.0. A $500,000.
Not if you're getting 3-1 from somebody.
6.0, a $500,000 scat daddy who is improving fast and gets Ryan Moore for the first time, but is drawn very low in stall one. Kevin, can you make a case for her? Stable's won this for the last 2 years.
I can make a case for quite a few of these. This is a good renewal of the race, I think. Main edition, I've nothing against her whatsoever. She put up a very impressive time at Goodwood before going to Ascot, and the concern going to Ascot was the ground, really, because she, you know, she does lift her knee, but she showed, you know, that the ground wasn't an issue there. I suppose her liking for this type of ground will be tested even more so on this July course with the ups and plenty of downs of it. But I think today certainly the ground wasn't riding properly good to firm. It was kind of good to firm slash good, I think, by all accounts, according to the clock. So that'll be a help to her. And I've nothing against any of the front three, to be honest. They're three lovely fillies. La Pelosa, and that was her first run on turf at Royal Ascot, so I'd expect her to improve. Main Edition, you know, could well come forward again, as Rory says. And Gossamer Wing is, you know, we've talked about it many, many times on the podcast this year, about Aidan O'Brien, two-year-olds coming on from run to run. And while Ascot was her fourth run, it's not unreasonable at all to expect that she could command from that again. And I think the extra furlong, or certainly, returning to six furlongs, will suit her, given how well she finished off in the Queen Mary.
So who are you going to side with, Kev?
Well, I'm finding it hard to have a strong opinion, to be honest, Kenners, but at the, I think the front three are real good fillies. And if you put a gun to my head, it would probably be Gossamer Wings at the prices. Rory has made mention of the draw. That is definitely a concern. Mm. But I think this is one to watch. This is a group two, but I think there's a group one winner in amongst these. If one of these can come out and beat the rest with a degree of comfort, they're a group one winner in waiting, I suspect.
Okay, nothing wrong with sitting back and watching this race. I think that Main Edition, if you're going to go for something at the top of the market between La Pelosa and I'd definitely stick with Mark Johnson's filly. She can come forward, and that's Rory's opinion as well, coming out of stall five. But the 6.0 about Customer Wings, I think, is very, very interesting for a stable who's won the race for the last 2 years. Alpha Centauri, fascinating runner for the Jessica Harrington team with Colm O'Donoghue. She set a new track record at Royal Ascot last time out and will be expected to put up a sterling performance again as she faces basically the same opposition, Kevin. Did you see enough in Clemmie's performance last time out to make you think that she could get closer, or is this just a matter of how far for Jessica Harrington's stable star?
No, I would expect Clemmie to come forward again. I think the vibes still weren't great going into Ascot. You know, I think the view was she's coming forward, but she's not there yet. So I would expect a better performance from her again. You know, Alpha Centauri, or Centauri, or however you want to pronounce it, obviously a lot of people will assume she's a racing certainty here. Given the performance she put up last time, it was absolutely spectacular. You know, one of the performances of Royal Ascot, certainly on the clock, it ticked every box. But I would just say I would be a little bit cautious about her repeating that effort 3 weeks on. She's a big girl. I know she won by six lengths, and people think that when horses win by wide margins, seemingly with loads in hand, they do it easily. You can't run time like that and not have a hard race. On fast ground, she's a big girl. It does hit the ground a little bit. If she were mine, and unfortunately she is not, I would have been inclined to give her a little bit more time and to give her every opportunity to get over that, you know. She's a filly that they found themselves minding last season after Royal Ascot. They gave her a good break before going back for the Moyglare. I'm just concerned they might be going back to the well a little bit quick here. You know, it was only not much more than 3 weeks on from the 1,000 guineas that they went back to the well at Ascot. And it's three weeks exactly to the Falmouth here. And yeah, I'd be concerned now. I would be concerned. And given the shape of the race, it's not exactly the most attractive each way race if you did want to take a swing against her. But I would just be expressing loads of caution here. I certainly wouldn't be expecting her to repeat what she did at Ascot. She may well win anyway, but I'd be afraid now. I'd be fearful going into this about Alpha.
Okay, this is another race that Aidan O'Brien has won for the last 2 years. Alice Springs and Roly Poly. Clemmie definitely has it in her if she can just get back to that juvenile form.
She was the pick of Aidan's fillies at two, but she has to prove on. She's to prove that she's trained on. And there's no wild reason to suspect she hasn't, but she just hasn't done it yet. And it's been, you know, well established. She had a little setback earlier in the season. It's just been a case of her being slow to come to hand. But there was encouragement in her last start at Ascot. And I'd expect her to come on again, but would it be? I think the market is still assuming that improvement is coming. You know, I don't think that they're giving away anything at the price. So I'd find it easy enough to leave her alone at that price, even with my concerns about Alpha.
Okay, Rory, your assessment of the race.
Yeah, I take what Kevin says on board there. There's not an awful lot to be gained by backing Alpha Centauri at a really short price. Mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't be backing Clemmy against her either, though. This is a race that has thrown up shocks in the past. And when any horse puts up a performance like Alpha Centauri did at Royal Ascot, the chances are that they revert a little bit to the mean next time out. There's no way. I mean, it's pretty much impossible for a horse to be putting up that performance on a regular basis. So that's liable to be a highlight, certainly for the time being, from her. But even if she does revert to the form that she showed when winning the Irish Guineas, that'd be good enough to win this. The one thing I will say about her turning up quickly is that, yes, they did give her a long break last season after Royal Ascot, but she's had two runs after a break in her career, and she's run poorly both times. So she does seem to thrive in her racing.
We did have mitigating circumstances there.
We had a soft grind for both of those. So that is mitigation. But, you know, there may be the fact that she's coming off a break both times might in itself be something to bear in mind. But I think we're of roughly the same mind. I think you're pretty much guaranteed not to find value backing horses like Alpha Centauri after she's put up an absolutely stunning display like she did at Royal Ascot. She was a terrific bet then, as we'd mentioned in Andy Post pieces. But trying to follow her in now, if you miss the wedding and you're looking to back her now, you're liable to turn up to the funeral, as it were. So if you want to see a great performance, tune in and hope she does it again. But I don't see any great angle in piling in at you know, probably 4-9.
Yeah, she is going to be short, and we've seen wide margin winners get turned over next time out. So while on paper it looks as though she's a good thing, I think the concerns of the lads is certainly merited, and it's going to be a fascinating race. If you were going to take her on, Rory, because you were saying that you weren't necessarily keen to be getting stuck into Clemmy. So if you were going to take her on, who would it be with?
Although she's nowhere near as good, if you're looking for a shock, you've got to look at how the race might pan out. And there's a possibility that Nialetti gets loose on the lead. And if she set a soft enough pace, then that wouldn't bring the best out of Alpha Centauri and gives her half a chance of springing a shock. But again, it's not even a good race for each way betting, is it? Mm. But if you had to ask me where a big shock might come from, then Nialetti's the obvious one.
Okay. Nialetti as the possible alternative for Rory. That brings us on to Saturday's racing, and we will begin by taking a look at the juvenile race, the Superlative Stakes, which has been won in the past by a certain Mr. Aidan O'Brien, including last year with Gustav Klimt. And in this race, Kevin Blake, we have the full brother to one of the greatest horses to ever grace the turf, a 240,000 guineas yearling and a full brother to Highland Reel. It's Cape of Good Hope. Good thing for the Derby next year, and a good thing for this race at Newmarket.
Oh, lordy.
How far,
no
Kevin?
Way back from that intro.
How far, Kevin?
No, we can't go on from there, can we? He looked ordinary enough the first 2 days, now, to be fair to him, but he was certainly better at Tipperary last time. Jumped out, made all, won snug enough, you know, in a race that, you know, it was a winner's race now, but I don't think it was too hectic. He was getting weight off the couple that had won races. And wouldn't have been a performance that set me alight now. But look, we know I've given up, you know, trying to pull cold water on these O'Brien 2-year-olds, because they do really keep progressing and improving. So, you know, a big chunk of improvement wouldn't be out of the question at all. There are some interesting maiden winners here, to be fair. I'd be very interested to see how the market assesses them all. Certain Lad comes in there representing the Railway Stakes form from the Curra. Van Beethoven let that down a bit today.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was beaten a long way. I don't think that necessarily can be used as an indication of the level of the form. But look, it's not a race I have a strong opinion on. There's a few nice maiden winners. Neverland Rock, I watched his run back today. I thought he was reasonably impressive. And Quarto for Charlie Appleby, if that's me pronouncing it right. I think it's always encouraging when you get a Dubawi that can, you know, come out and win in June of his two-year-old year. You know, they're always generally better with time.
Nicely bred too, Kev.
Yeah, Volume. What did Volume do? I remember Volume.
She was placed in the Irish Oaks.
That's right. Yeah. She was a good filly. First foal, this fella is. But yeah, generally, like when horses kind of outspeed their pedigrees, it's generally just, you know, it's ability that's doing it rather than, you know, precocity tends to be built in with a lot of ability generally. And you wouldn't expect a Son of Dubawi out of an Irish Oaks third to be out winning over 6 furlongs in June of their two-year-old year. So the fact that he was able to do that suggests that he's probably quite good. And he's interesting as well. But it's certainly, I don't have any prices for this in front of me. I don't know if you guys do, but it's not a race that any of them are leaping off the page at me, to be honest.
Cape of Good Hope is a best price of 5.5. Quintero, 4.0. Certain Lad, 6.0. Defar, 6.5. Neverland Rock, 7.0. Forsetti 9.0 and Blown by
Sorry, Wind, I don't understand these numbers you're saying. can you give them in a proper traditional format, please?
No. Move with the times.
This is an absolute disgrace. Kenny.
Move and with the times.
I hope the listeners duly give you endless abuse for it. This is a terrible decision, and I hope you will live to regret it due to the abuse you get from our loyal listeners.
Our loyal listeners.
Punish him, listeners.
Our loyal listeners are intelligent, and they well know what decimal odds are. If you can't adjust, that's your problem.
They well know what a sellout looks like when they see one.
Yes. And I still remember that Pro Form ad that you did, Kevin Blake, so we can go down that road too if you'd like.
Hey, when was the last time I talked about Pro Form?
Now, walked into that one. Right. Who are you gonna, is this a case of just sit back, watch with an eye to the future, or can you see a betting proposal here, having heard the price?
If you can tell me when you're putting money up to back Cape of Good Hope on these exchanges of yours, then I'm sure the pair of us will be happy to take you on.
Oh, listen, what price are you going to give me, Rory?
He's not the the most precocious Cape of Good Hope, despite the fact that he's had a few runs to date. I think you'll end up backing him at the end of the season, still banging the drum in the Zetland Stakes over a mile and a quarter. That's his race this season, isn't it?
Oh, no, I love
it. He's a good horse, lads. I'm telling you, he's a good horse.
I'd have given up if that's the case. I'd have given up if that's the case. Sure, they're only getting to run on grass now. They weren't able to. They had to run on the all weather back at Ballydoyle. They're only getting to run on grass
run on
now.
The grass now. It's too feckin'
it's, now
hard.
Now it's too hard. So that performance in Tipperary just goes to show you how good he is. Now's the time to back him, Rory. Get on board. The lads will be getting stuck in.
We'll get that stat about the Zetland Stakes and the Derby next spring again. Whatever it was.
Was it Kew Gardens won that and then went for the Derby, wasn't it? I'd take a Queen's Vase victory for Cape of Good Hope.
The previous year it threw out the Derby winner, didn't it?
Yeah, or, I think, yeah, it did, yeah.
Kew Gardens runs in the Grand Prix de Paris on Saturday.
Oh, that's right, he does.
Against DXB.
The real French Derby.
Yes, the actual French Derby. None of this 10 furlong nonsense.
Yeah. It looks a pretty weak renewal now.
Awful renewal.
Downdraft is running. The Great Downdraft.
And
it looked like some good thing beaten in the King Charles.
I was just going to say.
King George handicap if he goes and wins a Group 1 on his next start.
Justice for Downdraft. He goes and wins under Christophe Soumillon. Interesting booking.
I was going to mention Downdraft on the last podcast, but it dragged on a fair while. I didn't get a chance in the end.
It wouldn't be like
but I thought he was, you know, I thought he was clearly interesting going into that race. He had no chance of winning.
The race was gone.
I thought he was one who was going to be really interesting later in the season. He wouldn't make the E4, would he? Unless he won.
They can't. 3-year-olds aren't allowed in the E4 anymore.
Mm.
They've got since they upped the prize money, they got rid of the 3 year olds.
Well, let me
so
just
the Melrose has beefed up a bit.
Let me just say this:
3 year olds have got in the last few years anyway.
Mark Johnston took one hell of a beating at the hands of Joseph O'Brien, and you know what? Looking at this race, he might do so again. I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if Downdraft went out and beat DXB, Kew Gardens, Nelson, and then a couple of Frenchies, and we know they're useless with the exception of Study of Man, so... Yeah,
it's a fairly winnable looking Group 1, isn't it?
It's a windy old Group 1 now, and I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if the Final Furlong Podcast posse, if we all got stuck into Downdraft, sent him off favourite, and he goes and wins.
Well, one certainty is he'll be a massive price.
Way too big a price.
You can be sure of that. Yeah. He'll be massive. And look, like Rory said, I know we've gone off on a sidetrack here, but the way the King George handicap panned out, he'd no real chance after 100 yards.
Yeah.
Making Miracles has come out, and he actually ran a very similar race to Downdraft in the position he came from and the ground he made up late, and he's bolted up in a handicap at Haydock last time, so... as a great man once said, it can be done.
Lads,
but maybe not necessarily so in a Group 1.
Kevin Blake is the race planner. They ran him in a handicap. They're now going for a Group 1 in France, and they've got the main man, Christophe Soumillon, on board. Get stuck in at Paris-Longchamp. This is the time. Joseph O'Brien's in red-hot form. He's at a treble tonight at Leopardstown as we record the podcast. He's the Irish Derby winning trainer. He's going to win Dundalk even. Apologies. Dundalk. Nothing wrong with Dundalk. And he's going to win the real French Derby, the Grand Prix de Paris at Paris-Longchamp. Christophe's going to be blowing kisses to the crowd, and you can see it live on At the Races, 7 o'clock Saturday. Get stuck in. Getting back to the 105 at Newmarket.
Totally my fault. I apologize.
Are you going to have a bet in this race, Roy DeLargy?
I wouldn't be mad to have a bet, given what else is going on Saturday. It's feast or famine with racing in the UK at the moment, isn't it? So I can leave a lot of the two-year-old group races alone at this time of the year. But I'd agree with one of the comment that Kevin made. I thought Porter was very interesting. With his pedigree, to win over 6 furlongs on debut suggests he's out of the ordinary. I don't think it's an especially strong race. Those were the best form. I've had plenty of opportunities to show it. And Porter doesn't need to improve an awful lot on his debut success, and he will definitely improve a chunk for stepping up to 7 furlongs. And so he'd be the one who'd interest me.
And Charlie Appleby won this race 2 years ago. Right, the 140... The Bunbury Cup. I think we know why we're talking about this race. We know the winner. Hydro Newmarket suits. William Buick takes over. Gilgamesh wins the Bunbury Cup, and he's currently available at 6.0.
I'm gonna find a tweet here. You work away there.
I'm not gonna argue with that.
Find here.
the only issue I would have with Gilgamesh in this race is whether it becomes difficult to make ground from off the pace.
Yeah,
he has been held up with runs, and my issue with Newmarket in July is that often you get loose on the lead, and that's a massive advantage. So although he's well enough drawn, he won't be going forward from stall 13. I like him a lot. I mean, I've been banging the drum about him all season.
Yeah.
I napped him in the Wokingham last time out. I thought he ran a lot better than the bare result, beaten less than 2.5 lengths into seventh.
For the second time at Ascot, he's run better than the bare result. Like, he was only beaten 2 lengths.
Yeah, he was really unlucky in the Victoria.
Oh, terribly.
Less than 2 lengths there in the seventh. He's just on the wrong side of the track, but the 7 furlongs suited him. Dropping back to 6. I think that 6 furlongs will actually be fine for him in time. But you don't suddenly, you don't drop back to 6 furlongs for a race like the Wokingham and take it in your stride.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I realised that I probably got wrong last time out. You need to be conditioned for that kind of thing. And that would have helped his development being in a race like that. He will step forward. And if it's a fair race, if it doesn't confer favours on anyone, then he'll win. My worry with the Bunbury Cup is that it often isn't the fair race.
I like
that.
I like that comment, though. He will win. if it's a fair race. What stock do you put into the fact that William Buick ticks over? He has ridden him before.
Well, that's clearly not a bad thing. I mean, he rode him before. It's a very strange one. He was not particularly busy. And again, I'd put him up as a bet in the Spring Cup at Newbury, or the Spring Mile. Got to get it right. Spring Cup, isn't it? The Spring Mile being at Doncaster. I thought he was really interesting because he really caught my eye last year, which is why I've been so keen on him for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
And here he was making a seasonal reappearance in a big mile handicap. And I thought he's going to be ready for this. He's a big player. And you could not have seen a horse with less chance than a race he had in that. He was beaten all ends up, beaten over 30 lengths in the end.
Yeah.
It's a strange
second
contest.
Last.
You had to race near the stands rail, and you had to be handy all the way to get involved. And he was just looked after there. But so the fact that William Buick came in for the ride that day, and it didn't seem to be the be-all and end-all. But it was fair enough that William looked after him when he had absolutely no chance the way the race panned out. Mm. He's probably benefited from a drop back and trip anyway, because he was pretty keen at Newbury. He may in time prove fully effective at 6 furlongs, maybe even at his best at 6, but he does need to get used to the tempo of those big 6 furlong races. I mean, you're only looking at the Wokingham and the Stewards' Cup, essentially, and those will be on his agenda. But 7 furlong sits him really well. He just needs a fair race. And the worry with Newmarket is that he could run a massive race here and just be in the wrong part of the track at the wrong time. And you can just see it panning out that he catches the eye, looks an unlucky loser, and you think, well, there you go, there's a moral winner and one that's going to win next time out. But when you're backing them at short prices, you can't afford to have moral winners. You need to have actual winners.
Absolutely.
You can't eat moral winners.
That being said, though, Rory and I will be sticking with Gilgamesh to get the job done. Dunnock has picked up the spare ride in the second favourite for William Haggis. On Mutazim. Kevin, for you, who are you with?
Jesus. Sorry, I just was dropping in the remote control into D, and I'm looking at this fan, and it's now moving. It's moving side to side.
Did you not know it does that?
No, I've never seen one of these in my life. It's completely new to me.
They're seriously impressive.
Good God.
You will be ice cool for as long as you want now, from now on.
So I'm going to leave him a bit too fascinated by that.
And you can get Dyson fan for about £600 sterling at your latest and nearest Dyson retailer.
I don't have an opinion on this race, to be honest. But I was just thinking there, the people that named Shady McCoy. I said regretting that now, aren't I? You'll be familiar with this, Kennedy. You love the old American culture. But
yeah.
Shady McCoy is an American football player by the name of LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
And if you Google his name, you'll see he's in a sticky situation at the minute.
You'll get some interesting stuff. I suggest don't look it up at work, but do look it up in your own time.
It's all be done. What are you on about?
I'm not entirely certain.
It's not kevinblake.com.
do you actually know what I'm talking about, Kennedy?
Yeah, the home invasion.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly. Well, cops...
To go in and hammer the head off his ex-missus and rob stuff off.
Yeah, cops were dispatched to LeSean McCoy's home. And he's now had to hire a high-profile attorney.
I don't follow it as closely as I used to, but he's a fair superstar, isn't he?
Yeah, but have you seen the pictures of his?
Terrible. Yeah, she got an awful doing.
Absolutely frightening. It's absolutely horrific.
All, joking aside, yeah, it's pretty shocking stuff, which is why I wonder the person who named that horse will be going.
Yeah, they might try and do a Chinese thing here and like call him Red Dragon or something like that. Get the name.
Send him to Hong Kong and call him Lucky Luck Luck.
Yeah, something along those lines. I can't imagine that they'll want to be keeping that name for too much longer. An ex-teammate of his has come to his defense. There's a surprise. It's a big scumbag story. Right, we'll move on.
And just to throw it out there, it could be a completely random burglary that had nothing to do with the Sean McCoy at all. But that's not the way it's been portrayed in the old media at the minute.
Yeah. Looks nasty.
Anyway, I don't think El Shady's going to be listening to the Final Furlong pod, so we're probably safe enough to slander him.
Hey, well, listen, ESPN have been all over this story and have been talking about it openly, so he's got bigger problems than the Final Furlong, let me tell you. And the top NFL podcasts in the States have been covering this as well. It's been fascinating listening. So, yeah, he's getting it. He's getting it both barrels, I'm afraid. It could be trial.
Well, if he's done it, he obviously deserves it, Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But trial by Twitter is finding him scumbaggy right now. Let's move on to the feature race of the weekend, the Darley July Cup Blue Point victory at Royal Ascot last time over Batash is currently favoured as he steps up to a furlong. US Navy flag, as predicted by Kevin Blake at the start of the season, drops to 6 furlongs and is second favourite under Ryan Moore.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. You said this horse will be a sprinter later in the season.
Really?
Yeah, you did.
I can't remember.
He's, well, you were spot on, and he's a 6.0 chance.
I've certainly said it.
And Rory was shouting it as well from the rooftop. Sands of Mali, 9.0. Dreamfield,
I can't believe you're persevering with the decimals. Good God.
Listen,
I hope you get destroyed on social media for this.
The Final Furlong podcast listeners are forward-thinking, intelligent. They're all over decimals. We might like the old world of fractions, but it's all about the decimals from now on.
Okay, I tell you what we're going to do, Kenners. If you're so confident in that opinion, once this podcast goes out, tomorrow evening, we will run a Twitter poll. And we will ask the good people of Twitter, would you like Emmett to use decimal or fractions? Is that fair enough? If that's what the people want, Kennedy, we'll go with it. I'm happy to go with it if the people vote in favour.
What were you going to say, Rory?
I was going to say, are you happy for this to happen?
I have no problem with it happening, seeing every betting exchange.
Rory, you're a betting expert, Rory.
Much as I love betting exchanges, you're getting your arse kicked in this poll, I'm afraid.
Oh, do you reckon?
76-24.
So you reckon it's all going to be old school thinking?
Unless you've got 500 dormant accounts that you want to pop up and do your voting for you.
No interest.
Honestly, I would expect it to be 80% or higher, personally.
Well, we'll see.
We will.
Decimals are the way forward. It'd be quite interesting if that smug smile was knocked off your face, Kevin.
And, I'm very confident in my smugness right now.
And this vote did not go the way that you intended. Right, Dreamfield, who was chinned at Royal Ascot in a big field handicap, is in at 10.0. Redkirk Warrior, who was under Frankie Dettori last time out. This is pretty interesting in the sense that the trainer is still the same, but it's saying there's a trainer change notification. But anyway,
they have a funny kind of partnership system down in Australia, and they've just slightly changed the way it's printed on the race card. It's not an actual trainer change.
Okay, that's interesting. So Regan Bayless, the Aussie jockey, comes over for the ride.
Regan Bayless.
A man who knows the horse well and has won on him on multiple occasions, takes over from Lanfranco. So we'll see if that makes any difference to him. Lamato. Brando says go for Kevin Ryan. Sioux Nation on a recovery mission. Invincible Army, Fleet Review, Sir Dancelot, Spirit of Valor, and Intelligence Cross. So Aiden's firing plenty of bullets. I think it's a battalion it was described as, Kevin. US Navy flag dropping in trip. But first of all, let's deal with Blue Point. Back up to 6. Is he the one that's going to take all the beating?
Oh, I'd be worried about going back up to 6. And I know the 6 on the July course is, you know, not as quite as stiff as the 6 at Ascot, as I like to call it.
Very important to pronounce it the correct way that they like it pronounced.
But I would be a bit concerned now, so I know he's won over 6 furlongs. He certainly stays the trip. But based on what he did last time, I think that was strong evidence that five might be his very best trip. And you have to ask yourself, is he so good that he can win? You know, I think it's probably fair to call it an up-to-scratch Group 1 at a trip that isn't maybe quite his best. I'll let him go and win. He could well go and win, but I'd be happy enough to take him on, I think.
Isn't Red Cork Warrior a fascinating runner, given the fact that he clearly didn't run to form at Royal Ascot last time out, and Merchant Navy, who had form with him, won that race?
Well, look, I fancied him at Ascot. The form of Merchant Navy read very well. He was better off at the weights. All indications were that confidence was good and high, and he ran a shocker with a capital S. And for an Aussie, Ascot, I will try and get that right.
Ascot. That's how they like it said, Ascot.
Ascot isn't, it's different to what they're used to in Oz, but they have nothing like the July course in Oz.
Yeah.
It's up and down, undulations, and if he couldn't produce it at Ascot, I would be very concerned about him producing it at the July course.
Okay.
And it wasn't exactly a run that it pretty much had no encouragement to take from it, I think it's fair to say. He was beaten a long way out. He's a horse that in Australia had shown great tactical versatility. He could make the run. He could be held up. So the one thing you would have expected him to do is travel, and he didn't. He was beat a long way out. So even at the increased price that has come about as a result of that poor effort, I couldn't stick with him, to be honest.
Richard Fahey's been making big noises about Sands of Mali, who ran that fine race in the Commonwealth Cup, but was beaten ultimately by Ektadar. They're similar enough prices, 7.0 and 9.0. There's not too much separating them between the bookmakers. What do you make of that form?
Oh, look, it was a Commonwealth Cup that looked a fabulous race on paper. And I don't want to say it went to bits because, Sands of Mali and Ektadar are two good horses. But, Sioux Nation ran well below expectations. Nothing went right for him from the get-go. Equilateral ran poorly. You just wonder how strong it was. And Vince Villarmi probably didn't run his race. I don't want to knock Sands of Mali at all. He's a lovely horse. And Ektadar, to be fair to him, took a big step up, and there's no reason to doubt that he has made that big step up. But coming into open company now, I just would be slightly sceptical now. I think both would need to come forward a little bit more to compete in this, would be my thought.
And US Navy flag back in trip.
Yeah, fascinating. The blinkers stay on, which isn't a surprise, I suppose. And look, he's been running very well. He gets a mile, but he just doesn't help himself. Because the last twice, I think things have been set up to give him an uncontested lead with a view to getting him to relax in front, and he just hasn't relaxed, and he's gone a bit quicker than ideal both times. So, I think that they've made a big effort to try and relax him. They obviously have thrown that plan out the window now and said, right, we're going to make a sprinter of him. And, the speed is there, to be fair to him. The speed is absolutely there. But having the speed and winning a July Cup on what is effectively, what is your first start in an open Group 1 sprint is a big, big ask. And it has been done before with three-year-olds. Not very often, but it has been done. I'd be super impressed with him if he can do it, because it's a big, big ask of him, I think. I wouldn't entertain the price with him now.
He's gone very short. Like, he was 25s for this race before Royal Ascot, but now he's 5-1.
25s?
He was 25-1 for this, before the St. James's Palace Stakes, but now he's 5-1, 6.0. It's a bonkers price. Is 25 days enough time to transform him from a miler into a training regime to be a sprinter?
Look, it wouldn't be a huge amount to do. With a horse like him, they would have been very careful not to fire off too many rounds with him at home in terms of trying to keep him relaxed. I'm sure they would have given him a couple of bits of sharp work just to try and switch him on. Having spent the entire spring trying to switch him off, But it will just be interesting to see how he reacts, because it is a test. It is very different. And, you know, at this track as well, which I know he shouldn't have any problems per se with the track, but asking him to put all that speed down on a track like this first time is just a small bit tricky again. I'll be impressed if he can do it.
Okay, who are you going with, Kev?
Don't have a super strong opinion, but I know you'll probably laugh, but Lamato is back at a reasonable trip now. This is his sort of distance he's proven at this track. And we don't know if he's the same horse as he was last year, but at least he's over a trip that should allow him to show where he is and the ground. Unless that Sheikh Mo has been cloud seeding again, I think we're going to get good to firm ground. And that's what he wants. And I think we'll see more like the real Lamato on Saturday. And we'll see how much ability he retains. But I would expect a fair chunk of improvement from him now, all being well.
I don't think we've seen the real Lamato for the last 2 years since he won this race. Ooh. Back in 2016. But
God, he was very good his last start last season, I thought.
When he beat Masset.
Yeah, that wasn't all that. It wasn't quite his very best, but it wasn't all that far off it now. He was impressive, I thought. But he'll need to be back to close to his best, I think, to win. But I would expect him to come to show a lot more than he has been over a mile, for sure.
Yeah, Gordon Lord Byron was back in third, and it was a group two. Rory, you've heard Kevin's assessment of the Darley July Cup.
I'd rather have been asked about this a couple of weeks ago, in fairness, but I'd be happy to take a risk on US Navy Flag.
Oh!
The current price is less appealing. I thought he was guaranteed to come back for this, given the way he'd been shaping earlier in the season. I thought he blatantly didn't get home. I never thought he would make a stare. I thought when he won the Dewhurst last year, it was his blazing speed that won him the race, and I thought they had to experiment with a mile this year, but I didn't really fancy it to work out. And there are very, very strong correlations between him and Mozart, who won the race for Aidan O'Brien way back in the day. Mozart's, like US Navy Flag, they both ran in the 2000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown. Mozart was beaten at 1-4 in that. US Navy Flag finished last of four. And then they both contested the Irish 2000 Guineas, both finished second there without fully seeing the trip out. And they both went to Royal Ascot. But in Mozart's case, he went to the Jersey and won over 7 furlongs, whereas US Navy Flag stayed at a mile and was beaten in the St. James's Palace. I've got no issue with the programme of dropping him back. You can say, you know, can you really condition a horse to be a sprinter after the career he's had so far? But for me, he's run like a sprinter in all his races. Maybe less so last time out by the nature of the St. James's Palace. But I thought in his previous races, he looked like he was just trying to sustain speed over a mile, but racing as if he was a sprinter. The drop back to 6 furlongs will suit him. Being drawn in stall 12 close to the standside rail will suit him as well. Sorry, not the close to the far side rail, rather. Oh, no, it's the downside, sorry. Yeah, ignore me. That will help him. And while he does have a little bit to prove, and we were talking about him running in this race ages ago, and you could have got big prices about him at the post, so it's a bit daft to be piling in now at a short price. But, you know, he's always appealed as a type who would redeem his reputation over this trip. And of course, he absolutely loves Newmarket and Fast Ground, as we saw last season. So I can see a full-scale revival from US Navy Flag. And I've not liked him one iota this season until now.
So the whole training regime, really, like, he essentially just bursts out of the stalls and goes for it. So that's essentially what Ryan Moore is going to do again. I mean, Kevin's made the point in the show before that There's no real break on US Navy Flag. You just have to let him bowl along and go with it. And you'd imagine that's what they'll do here. And maybe he's just going to be too difficult to catch. And
well, just bear in mind that, like, you know, this showing the speed to make the running over a mile, you know, you need to show more speed to lead over in an all-aged open group one over 6 furlongs. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to make the running, but I think Ryan will just be jumping him out and letting him sit wherever he's happy, basically, wherever his cruising speed sits him. And I suppose the theory is that, rather than trying to restrain him the whole time as he was over a mile, he'll just be able to let him flow and relax, probably going maybe a shade faster than he was even over a mile. But it's just a case of whether he can maintain it. And, that's where the sprint conditioning might just catch him out, possibly. But we'll find out on Saturday.
Okay. He's your pick, Rory. But at the prices, obviously you're on a Manti post, I assume. Would you make him a bet at current odds, or would you be prepared to let him win at that price?
I'd hope that if you shop around, you'll get slightly better than his current odds on the day. It's still essentially an anti-post event now, isn't it? Although you'd be getting your stake back if he didn't run. But given the nature of the race and given the question marks over him, I think you'll get better than the current price if you shop around. He's not gonna be punted into favouritism, is he? Surely.
Can't imagine so. Unless the heavy mob really got stuck into him.
But even then they wouldn't they could not be supremely confident that he was gonna he'd go out and do it.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's changed. I can understand if he'd been racing over a mile and he suddenly started showing much more speed in his homework and he was beating horses he wasn't beaten before. There was a big change there. I can understand why that might precipitate a gamble, but I can't imagine anything has changed. He's a horse who's always had speed. You'd rather have a top-class miler in your hands than a top-class 6-furlong horse, but they come to the stage now where he's not going to be a top-class miler, and this is plan B. So he can't be that short, I wouldn't have thought, but I still think there's a decent angle in him improving for the cup pack and trip, and also just the way the race setup, I think, potentially suits him. I take Kevin's point that if you're making the run, and I think it's a very good point for races generally, just because you often make the running, if you're running in a different class race or a race at a different trip, you cannot guarantee you're going to get the same run style. The one thing I'll say about him, of course, is that I don't think he's got two run styles, and he's been making the running in Group 1 races, proper Group 1 races. So while he's up against some speedy horses here, there's not some... I'm not sure there's anything that's guaranteed to lead him if he wants to go on. There's always a possibility of it. And Kevin is right that, measuring early speed in mile races and measuring early speed in 6-furlong races is comparing apples and pears. But I think he's got a fair chance of being successful if he heads to the front. And if he can't quite lead, he's still going to be competitive.
Okay. Well, let's switch to York. This race.
Can I give a quick shout at one of the big prize?
Of course you can. Is it going to be Sunation?
Yeah, I think he's overpriced. I thought he'd win the Commonwealth Cup, to be honest. And look, things just went wrong from the very get-go. He missed the kick. The pace didn't set up the way they would have expected it to. And he just had to use petrol early on. He just ran the race a little bit upside down. And he's clearly beaten quite a long way and well below form, but we'll always forgive one. And given that Jamie is riding him here, the market is very much, it's overreacted, I think, to the Commonwealth Cup. He's 20-1. He's a 20-1 shot generally, and he's drawn close to U.S. Navy flag. He's drawn close to Fleet Review, who I'd imagine would go forward as well. So all being well, if he hits the gates a little bit more. With a little bit more haste this time, he should get a nice toe into the race, and I think the talent's there. He just needs to do things the right way around here.
He is a big, big old price if he can bounce back from his disappointment at Royal Ascot. Dash of Spice was a Royal Ascot winner for David Ellsworth, and will be bidding for glory at York. It'll be on ITV3 at 3:40 in the John Smith's Cup, the 59th running of the John Smith's Cup, to be precise. Thundering Blue, 9.0. Ah, feck! 12.0. Appeared 15.0. What have you unearthed a bit of value for us in this race, Roy DeLargy? Have you cracked this handicap wide open?
No, is the answer to that, because the horse I would have been very sweet on is Zaki, who's an on-runner. So I'm kind of back to the drawing board a little bit with this. I really like Thundering Blue. I've always liked Thundering Blue. Put him up a couple of times last season. Napped him again at Royal Ascot last time out. When, again, he had absolutely no chance the way that race play. He was beaten after 50 yards. I keep going on about the old high draw over a mile and a half at Royal Ascot, but you've got to be ridden prominently to take advantage of it. And he's generally been ridden as a hold-up horse, and they didn't want to change tactics. He was drawn 20 on the day, but he was held up. And once he was held up, his race was finished. You cannot allow everything on your inside to come past you to get a position. You're immediately 25 lengths behind horses who are not even going that fast in the first place. So he had no chance whatsoever of winning. What I'd love to see with him is a little bit of rain. I know he won on good form ground at York, but I think he probably got away with it that day because he'd been a non-runner on fast ground before for that reason. And I think with horses who don't really want lightning fast ground, you'll usually get away with it once. But if you keep doing it, then they start to resent it a little bit. But, you know, he was, of course, a very impressive winner here 2 starts ago. The downside is, of course, that he's £7 higher. And if you're aiming horses at races like this, ideally you want to be able to campaign them so that they get in just before they show £7 of improvement rather than just after they do it. Mm. So that's a little bit of a concern. And he's a single-figure price. And obviously he was well behind Dash of Spice. I say it's a single figure price. You were suggesting he was. Was he up to the top of the betting with Dash of Spice?
7.0 and Thundering Blue's 9.0.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, given that Dash of Spice finished 9 lengths behind him and never competitive at Royal Ascot, then you could argue that the Dash of Spice is still a degree of value. He's up. He's up £5, obviously carrying a penalty for this early closing race.
Yeah.
But he should go well again. Although Sylvester D'Souza has been on him for his improved performances of late. Doesn't ride him this time. David Egan back on board, and David Egan no longer able to claim £3. So that's a slight issue with him as well. And I wonder how far clear those horses are now of their rivals. Not very is the answer. So although I really like Thundering Blue, and I've always said there's a big race in him, He I wouldn't say he blew it by winning here in May, but he made things a bit harder for himself by getting up to a rating of 100. And when I was backing Thundering Blue in the first place, he was rated 80-odd, and he's a lot higher in the weights now. So I'm going to sit in the fence with this at the moment. I'm going to be looking at it again overnight and trying to find something new. But the one who did jump off the page to me was the Stout Runner, who's no longer in the field, Zaki.
Yeah,
so
he is going to run in the 3 o'clock at Newmarket on Friday instead, frustration.
I find that a very odd switch, because I think this race will suit him really well, and it's worth $125,000.
It's odd. It's very very odd. The race he's going for instead is a 0-105. And it's worth $49,000.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the extra $80,000.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah. Yeah. I'll take the extra $80,000, thank you.
The one thing I would say about this, there'll be a lot of talk about the draw and, X is drawn in stalls 17 or 18 or 19, and that's a terribly difficult draw. But you look at the results of this race over the years, and big field handicaps at York, horses are constantly defying wide draws without there being a specific advantage to being there. Again, like all races like this, the key is getting a clear run. And often what they do at York is they swing off the bend and come up the centre of the track, and that gives everything a chance. So the results of this race show that there's no inherent draw bias. Mm. There can be a bias if they're mad keen to get across to the stands rail on soft ground and they come across early. And there can be an advantage if they think they need to be on the far side of the track. And they don't come across the middle. Therefore, horses who are drawn low can be disadvantaged if they don't get an early position. Whereas if they come off both rails and they race up the centre, if you're good enough, you can come from anywhere in the field. So don't worry too much about the draw.
I don't have a big thought in this race, but is Dermot Weld bringing over Tandem, that one of the most random things of all time?
It has to be.
It is a bit, yeah.
He's 9. Yeah. Oisin Orr takes £3 off.
His only runner at York, you know, seemingly quite well exposed 9-year-old, you know, good run last time. It's just like, it wouldn't be like Dermot Weld to bring one over for, you know, a handicap in England full stop, but one with this profile, it seems very strange,
doesn't it?
Should we take the hint?
That's what I was going to say to you, Kev, because
it will suit him. It looks like the ideal type of race for him. I think he's probably best at a mile and a quarter rather than a mile and a half or a mile. I think he appreciates a good gallop, and he is effective on quick ground. And I think he's actually more likely to get his conditions in England a lot of the time than he is in Ireland. But in saying that, you would have expected him to have been making the occasional trip over, or maybe a purchase being arranged for him to move to an English yard. It's not like Dermot to run them randomly in British handicaps.
It's very strange.
He is an odd one.
I just wonder, given the fact that things were so disappointing in the yard last year, that, you know, maybe he's of the... Like, the horse did win last year, but obviously was very disappointing at Galway and then at Leopardstown at the start of the season as well.
He's very strange.
Yeah, just given his age profile and all, it's an interesting one. You were saying it's not necessarily a race that you've got a strong opinion on, Kev?
No, not a bit. No.
Well, I think you are going to have an opinion on a race where you had it right off on Derby Day. You had your team of runners saddling up the donkeys. You were taking all the 10-1. And you had the little bags out, and you were going up and down the lines and sending off the horse at 7-2, only for Petticoat to go and absolutely bolt up like the good thing she was, take all the money, close down a few bookmakers on the day. A few fellas had to throw in the towel. That was it. Game over. Early retirement. Blake sleeps soundly on a big bed full of cash, and now she's in a listed race at Killarney, and she will be winning on ATR Sunday at 3:30.
I'd say she's probably the one to beat, and there's a few interesting ones against her. Joseph will have Ship of Dreams, who'll have her chance, but Petticoat was super impressive last time. She won off 90 that day. She's up to 102 now. She earned each and every one of those pounds.
Absolutely.
Back up to you know, sharpish mile. No problem. Ground, no problem. She'll be given a no-nonsense ride, I'd imagine. Barron, she gets terrible luck with the draw. She'll take a bit of beating now. I think she's very nice.
Your best bet of the weekend, Rory De Largy.
Ooh. I've been circumspect on a few of them, haven't I? A few of the old favourites run, and I'd be probably backing them, but cutting back on stakes. Let's go the whole hog and say US Navy Flag.
Oh, I'm liking it. Clearly, it's Gilgamesh. And Kev, for you?
Yeah, for the sake of the bands, I'll go with Two Nations.
What a touch that would be. Get on the reverse forecast. Sioux Nation, US Navy Flag, and we'll see you in Dubai. That's it. We'll review the weekend's action on Monday. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed it. From Kevin Blake.
Good fan.
Dyson. The best fans in the business, as long as you're willing to pay over the odds. From Rory De Largy.
If I strapped it to my back, do you reckon I could fly like fan man?
Give it a go. Do like Mo in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And try and go in and rescue Homer from the boxing ring. See, from Kevin Blake.
Good luck.
From Rory De Largy.
All the very best.
And for me, Emmett Kennedy, thank you so much for tuning in. We will chat to you next week on the Final Furlong podcast. God bless.
Have you downloaded the free At The Races app yet? With easy-to-use race cards and form, expert daily tips, plus video replays and in-app betting, it's the app that no racing fan's phone should be without. Available for free on your iPhone or Android mobile, visit attheraces.com/app for more details.